From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Some anxious moments on Capitol Hill today. The head of U.S. Central Command, General David Petraeus, was testifying before the Senate Armed Services Committee, but he suddenly slumped forward. NPR's Jackie Northam joins us now. Jackie, what seems to have happened?
Well, General Petraeus' head went down on the table, and he appeared to have briefly passed out. Then he started coughing, and several people rushed up to the table and tried to help him, giving him water and that. And within a very short time, he was able to walk out of the room by himself, and they recessed the hearing for about 20 minutes. It's unclear what happened at this point, but within about 20 minutes, General Petraeus did come back into the room, and the hearing has resumed.
Thanks. NPR's Jackie Northam in Washington. Petraeus testifying about the U.S. military effort in Afghanistan. Also on Capitol Hill today, key executives from some of the nation's top oil companies are talking about the massive oil spill in the Gulf. Democratic Congressman Henry Waxman, who chairs the House Energy and Commerce Committee, cautions the executives against being too critical of BP's actions.
BP failed miserably when confronted with a real leak, and one can only wonder whether ExxonMobil and the other companies would do any better.
President Obama is wrapping up his latest trip to the Gulf Coast and will be addressing the nation about the oil spill from the Oval Office this evening. Some Gulf Coast residents are skeptical of BP's ability to deal with the spill, including Mike Helmer, who works as a fishing guide in Louisiana.
This is our lives. I mean, it's marsh. This is why we live here. There's no place like this in the world.
Helmer says neither the government nor BP can completely protect the fragile ecosystem of the Gulf Coast.
I'm just praying that it doesn't advance any farther and damage any more islands and wildlife than it already has.
BP's chief executive meets with the president tomorrow. The International Committee of the Red Cross says hundreds of people have been killed in the ethnic violence that is gripping Kyrgyzstan. Tens of thousands of minority Uzbeks have fled their homes in an attempt to reach neighboring Uzbekistan, but the border is closed. And here's David Green reports Russia's government is apparently not ready to send peacekeepers to the area, at least for now.
Russian President Dmitry Medvedev called the bloodshed in Kyrgyzstan intolerable. But so far, the Kremlin's taken a cautious approach. A Russian-led security organization, this region's version of NATO, met yesterday and proposed sending helicopters and equipment to help bring peace. Yet the group made no final decision. The fragile interim government here is dealing with a worsening humanitarian crisis in the south, where beginning Thursday, Kyrgyz residents systematically drove minority Uzbeks from their homes. While more than 100 people are dead and scores more are injured, the government is blaming former President Kurmanbek Bakiyev for stoking ethnic violence to undermine the government that replaced him. Bakiyev was ousted from power in a bloody April uprising. From his exile in Belarus, the former leader said he's had nothing to do with the violence here. David Green, NPR News, Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan.
This is NPR News from Washington. A man and a woman are in custody in Florida after trying to gain unauthorized access to MacDill Air Force Base. Bobby O'Brien of member station WUSF reports guards searched their vehicle and found guns and other equipment.
Security found military-style gear and weapons in their sport utility vehicle, but no explosives. The Air Force is not identifying the suspects. The base is home to U.S. Central Command, which runs the military campaigns in Afghanistan and Iraq. This is the second such incident at the base in the last 2 months. In May, an Army veteran staying at the base campground was shot and killed at MacDill's Gate after he was involved in an altercation. For NPR News, I'm Bobby O'Brien in Tampa.
The nation's largest options exchange has launched its first public stock offering. NPR's Cheryl Corley says the Chicago Board Options Exchange is the last major exchange to go public.
The initial offering of 11.7 million shares is priced at $29 per share. The issue attracted 18 underwriters, of which Goldman Sachs is the lead. The CBOE may be looking to the success of initial public offerings of other exchanges in the past, which saw huge share increases on their first day of trading. The CBOE's action, though, comes during a time of market wariness over IPOs because of concern about the global economy and volatile stock markets. But this public launch has been years in the making. It was delayed because of legal battles. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.
On Wall Street, stocks are adding to their recent gains. The Dow Industrials are currently up 99 points at 10,290. The Nasdaq Composite Index is up 30 points. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.